Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 project here on the Nerd Party Network. Me and Dallas King make our way through the A24 filmography, TV shows, and aim to bring you interviews along the way with the talent involved in front of and behind the camera. In this episode, I'm joined by Jared Kozowski, who plays Thomas in Kelly Reichardt's First Cow. For those who haven't seen First Cow yet, a skilled cook has travelled west in 1820 and joined a group of fur trappers in Oregon, though he only finds true connection with a Chinese immigrant also seeking his fortune. Soon the two collaborate on a successful business. Thomas is a fur trapper working alongside Ewan Bremner's Lloyd and in service of Toby Jones's chief factor, but Thomas is a victim of bullying that drives him to commit a shocking act. Thanks so much to Jared for joining me to discuss his first ever feature film and his amazing experience he had working with the cast and crew out there in the wilderness in Oregon. I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this interview. So have you always been interested in acting, Jared?
I have. So going to the movies growing up was something that I did all the time. And it was always kind of the pipe dream. Like some kids like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. For me, it was, oh, I want to be an actor. But I never took it that seriously because no one in my family is artistic. They're all like business people and work in PR and things like that. So yeah, I never seriously considered it. And then like I took drama classes in high school and did all that stuff. And then I went to university. But when I went, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I spent most of my time changing my major from journalism, business, accounting, back to marketing. But I never really considered a performance degree. And the college I went to did have a program, but I just never took the plunge. And then, so I graduated with a marketing degree and I started going out to try to get jobs. And as I was interviewing, I was realizing that now was the time to try to do what I really want to do, which was acting. So I stopped going out for business jobs and started studying acting here in the Portland metro area. Mm-hmm. And it just hooked me. And so I just kept taking classes and then submitted to agents and was able to get one. And then just started auditioning. And that was back 2016 is when I really started taking acting seriously. Mm-hmm. And from there, yeah, a lot of auditions, a lot of no's, a lot of callbacks. And then First Cow came around. And that was my first professional job was First Cow, actually.
It's a hell of a first job to get.
It was. And that's a crazy story in and of itself.
Well, we'll certainly come to that because, like, I'm curious. Like, we often talk to people that are in like Texas, like the East Coast, West Coast. What's like the acting scene like in Portland, for example? You know, I always think of like Portland. I think of like Slater Kinney, Portlandia, that TV show. But what's like the scene like there for actors like yourself? Is there much opportunities, or are things tended to be drawn towards like LA a bit further south?
So Portland's interesting. So there are film tax incentives in Portland that aren't available in Washington, which is crazy because where I live, the two are so close together. And so Portland has always been a draw, I think, for shows like Portlandia. There was a show on NBC called Grimm that filmed here for a long time. There was Shrill on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
Was filming here for, I think, 3 seasons. And then we get the eventual, like, independent film that rolls through town. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a lot of commercials here, too. Yeah. Theater is a big thing here in Portland as well. That's a big thing. And but as far as union SAG jobs go, they come in waves here in Portland, I think. And it's not as steady as it would be other places like LA, where they just keep coming in. So I would say that Portland is, it's a market full of working actors, I would say, and actors that like, and it's a small, tight-knit community where everyone pretty much knows everyone.
You kind of teased it, like the audition for First Cow. How did that kind of come around, and what was your experience with that?
So I got the breakdown from my agent, and initially it was, the description for Thomas was a small kind of child in a way, and so they wanted people like around like 12 or some that age group, and well, small in stature, like lean, I didn't think I fit that description because I look super young, but I was early 20s at the time, so I told my agent, I'm like, I don't think I can pass for that young. And so I let it go. And then a month went by. So that was probably September 2018 when that first breakdown came through for Thomas. And then I think October came around. And I remember I was auditioning for another film in Seattle. And my agent sent me the breakdown again that afternoon and said, they're still looking for Thomas. And they actually changed it. So they're going to accept people that are a little bit older, but still have that lean, small, mousy stature. So I was like, okay, I'll submit for Thomas. And then like right away it came through, like they wanted to see a self-tape. So I had to hurry, drive home from Seattle back to Portland to get in front of my self-tape setup. And there was this scene that's not in the film. I think Kelly wrote it specifically just to audition Thomas because it was speaking, and Thomas doesn't actually speak in the film, but I recorded a quick 3 takes for, because they had different ways they wanted you to say the lines, just to see if you can be flexible and actually like work on a set. And so I recorded it and I sent it in like right before the deadline, and then I didn't hear anything for about 3 more weeks. And then all of a sudden, I wake up one morning and I get a phone call from my agent, which a lot of our correspondence is over email. So this was odd. I'm like, she's calling me. Something is up. So I answer it and she's like, Kelly wants to meet you. Can you be at this coffee shop in Portland at like 5 p.m. today? And I was like, okay, yeah, I can be there at 5 p.m. today. And she said, I think they really want you for this role. And so I showed up at around 5 p.m. and Neil, one of the producers, and Kelly were out location scouting around the area. And so then they met me at this small coffee shop in Portland. And they just dove into talking about the film and Thomas as a character. And she really wanted to meet me because she didn't know if I was too much taller than Ewan. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you really need to be afraid of Ewan. You need to be afraid of Lloyd. So I need to see you like in person. And she's like, I like you. I liked your audition. And I want to put you in my movie. And I'm going to make it happen. And I was like, sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah. And of course, like, do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, of course I want to do it. Yeah. And so... And then about a couple of days after that, they like officially called and said that they wanted me to portray Thomas. And which was amazing. And I didn't know that it was an A24 production until I got on set. And I heard one of the PAs talking like, yeah, this is an A24 film. And I was like pinching myself like, what? You said this is A24? And yeah, the whole experience was just insane from there.
With that, like, did you know much about sort of Kelly Reichardt before that kind of first meeting? Were you someone that was going in where you like had the stress of being like a fan of her work, or was there a joy being like ignorance is bliss? Like, oh, she's this director, she's got a good reputation. You know, what was that kind of, what kind of person were you going into that situation?
So when I first got the breakdown, I'll admit that I was a little bit Kelly ignorant, but then I went and kind of did my deep dive of what kind of filmmaking she does and her point of view. And then it was actually my brother that said, oh yeah, I've seen Night Moves with the one with Dakota Fanning and Jesse Eisenberg. And it was good. I liked it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't know exactly how good Kelly is and like her special point of view, especially like as an American filmmaker and the style that she does. I wasn't aware of that. But then as soon as I got on set, you could just feel it being there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say I was that intimidated walking outside, just because Kelly is so nice and the way she works is she's a genius, and she lets, there's no bad ideas on Kelly's sets, and ideas can come from anywhere, but it's still very much her vision and she's driving the train. And
how long did you have between getting that call, like, we want you in the film, you're Thomas, to your first day on set? How long was the sort of turnaround between the two?
So I got the call, it was about mid to end October, so like October 20th or something around there. And then we started filming, I believe, around November 11th, 2018. So it was a couple weeks. And in that time we did costume fittings and stuff like that and found like what Thomas would be wearing, what he would be having on him, like the red satchel bag that I carry the whole time, and what hat he's going to wear and things like that. And so yeah, it was a couple weeks before or from getting the role to starting shooting.
In that kind of period of time, did you dive into the book Half-Life, which First Cow is based on, or did you want to go, right, I'm just focusing in on the script, I don't want maybe this outside influence? Or did you build like up a kind of backstory potentially for your character in that time? How did you sort of use that in between period?
Yeah, so I didn't dive into Half-Life. I knew, I like kind of educated myself on what the book Half-Life was about. But I believe in that story, they travel to China and back again. And in this film, I knew it was only going to be taking place in the Pacific Northwest area at a certain period of time. And I knew it was like an original story that they adapted from that book. So I didn't focus too heavily on Half-Life. And as far as Thomas as a character goes, I would say I built him very much from outside in. So the costume fitting was very important for me, what he would be wearing. And especially it being a period piece, the clothes you're wearing kind of change how you carry yourself and move through space. So that was fun to do. And then I kind of viewed Thomas as a really foundational exercise in like what acting is, which is being and moving through space and reacting and living truthfully in imaginary circumstances. And I was really able to kind of build a backstory for Thomas myself, and but didn't really have to explain it too much, because Kelly made it clear to me that Thomas was mute, like he doesn't speak or can't speak. And so you didn't have to do any of the work where, you know, we as humans, we have thoughts and you don't actually say what you mean most of the time. And so you don't have, I could just have Thomas's thoughts and go down a rabbit hole with those, yeah, and not have to kind of convert them into dialogue in the script, mm-hmm. So, which was awesome for me because it being my first time on set, I was able to solely focus on just being Thomas and not having to memorize the lines and do all that stuff and really just be present in the moment and react to what was happening, like missing out on an oily cake and over and over again and getting yelled at by Lloyd and things like that and just taking in what was happening to Thomas.
What was that first day like when, like, you've probably thought all your life about, you know, you're finally an actor, this is going to be your first day on a set of a movie? What was your excitement, nerves like, and what kind of time did you start? What was your first day kind of like from beginning to end almost?
So I was really nervous, I'm not gonna lie. My day was early, if I recall. Like, I had to be on set and it was still dark outside because we were filming in November in the Pacific Northwest. It's cold. I remember driving to our filming location and just everything being so peaceful because no one's on the road, it's pitch black, and I get there. But everyone's so, that set and that crew was really like a family. And I think total as Thomas, I was on set for about a week, but spread out over the course of the 6-week shoot. I wasn't there every day, but every day I was there, I was treated like a family member pretty much. But the first day, I remember showing up and checking in, and they just swept me off my feet, basically took me to the trailer that I shared with a couple other actors and got me into costume and then hair and makeup. And when they started putting the dirt like under my fingernails and like on my teeth and greasing up my hair, and I was like, I'm in hair and makeup right now. Like, this is like a pinch me moment. And then I got driven to the shooting location. And the first scene I ever shot was the scene where I receive Evie, the cow, off the ship. And so right away, they're like, okay, Jared, this is Evie. And now you need to get comfortable with Evie. And here she is, and go walk with her like up and down the beach. And I'm like, this is surreal. Cause a lot of times they say actors, you shouldn't work with animals or kids. And this is my first experience, and it's with Evie, the star of First Cow. And then it was unreal. And then, so that first day pretty much was just trying to get that shot of leading Evie off the boat onto that little dock. And then I don't think you see it on the shot that's in the film, but there's a really steep hill that's just off camera. And so we spent the whole morning, me just leading Evie up the hill, and we have her handler, trainer, just off camera with treats, trying to get her to get the shot. And it was a lot of Evie not wanting to go, or she goes too fast and nearly pulls me over and things like that. And yeah, I think what really hit me is right before the first action call, and they called for last looks, and I'm like standing there in my costume, and they come over and really put all this like powder on me to make me look all beat up and tell me to close my eyes and like do the makeup thing. And I'm just like, I'm an actor now. This is crazy. And so yeah, the first day was really special, and working with Evie and just being on a professional set. Yeah, that day is something I'll remember for a long time, if not forever. Yeah.
To get into play with it, like I was going to ask you about, like you get to, you know, handle the titular cat and the cow and so on. And you know, I it was one of those things, I've seen the movie a couple of times, it was only like the third guy I was like, oh, it's Thomas that's taking the cow. I never kind of picked up on to that thing. It must have
There's
been
a scene in the movie where I give her like a water bowl and like tie her to a tree. And when I was watching the movie for the first time, I didn't even recognize it was me. And then all of a sudden, like Thomas like lifts his head. I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
What was the camp set like? It seems so, I was watching the kind of the behind the scenes on the making of the film on the digital copy, and it was sort of talking about how they use like real trees and bark and everything from the surrounding area. What was it like to go onto a set like that where it was brought to life? You know, it was all practical, real. How was that for you as an actor?
It was really, really helpful to, because we shot in a town called Elkton, Oregon. Are you talking about the fort scene?
Yeah.
And so it was like stepping straight back into the 1800s, and all the extras around and everyone, actual fires, actual things happening, horses lined up, getting ready, and it was raining, it was muddy everywhere. But yeah, actually having the fort there, and the production team really did take over the fort and make it like transport it back to the 1800s and not just a replica fort. It felt like you were in the 1800s, except for the camera, obviously. Like there's no camera in the 1800s, but yeah, I think the production design team did a fantastic job in making us actors feel as though we were actually back then. And Kelly is someone who, if there's a task that your character is doing, you need to actually be doing it. There's no pantomiming or faking it, because she loves to film people doing things. So that was also helpful, having a director that actually wants the actors to do what it says they're doing.
Actor, I'm curious about that worked on the fort set with you. Like I love Star Trek, and Rene Aubergeois was one of the actors on sort of the camp set as the man with the raven. He obviously passed away not too long after the making of the film. Did you have much chance to interact with him or work with him?
I didn't have much chance to interact with him. I would see him around set and but yeah, no, I didn't really get the chance to talk with him too much, because I think we filmed on different days. But yeah, I was sad to hear of his passing. Yeah. And
you spoke about, like, Kelly likes people to be doing things. There's no pantomiming. What's she like on set with her actors, and what kind of director is she?
I would say she's very, like, she's very decisive, and she knows what she wants in each shot, but she doesn't over direct her actors. She really trusts the actor to bring what the actor knows the character would be doing in a scene. And I would say that a lot of her directing isn't backstory based, like, oh, what would your character be thinking here and things like that. She's very like concerned with, like, I don't, the aesthetics, I would say. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of me personally as Thomas, the way she directed me, she wasn't overly concerned with how Thomas is feeling like in this scene and things like that. Like a lot of times whenever I would get on set, she would just ask me, are you feeling like Thomas today? And I'd be like, yes. And she's like, okay, that's good enough for me. And then we would just shoot. And it's funny, because Kelly really lets her shots kind of hang. She doesn't call cut. Like when the scene ends, she doesn't say, oh, cut, reset. She really lets things go, which is also, I think, extremely helpful. And she doesn't like acting, I would say. It's very much you do less and just be a human being.
You touched on it, like she asks you, are you Thomas today? How do you get to be Thomas on that day when you wake up in your bed? Is there like some music, or is there something that you go to as with your kind of acting skills to get into that mindset of Thomas? Or is it something that kind of comes naturally to you once you're into the costume for the day? How did you become Thomas on that day?
So I became Thomas mainly, it was really helpful to be outside in with Thomas, and really I was able to kind of go interior with Thomas once I had his costume on and was on set in the cold, in the mud, and things like that. And once all the grime and everything got painted on you, because then that could really, once you're staring at yourself and your teeth are black and your everything about you is dirty, mm-hmm. you step outside onto a practical set, like at the fort, or we also filmed like all around in the forests around Portland. It's really easy then to use your imagination to bridge the gap between, oh, we're here in 2018, present day, to immediately going back to 1800s frontier life. And so, yeah, I would say the costume and even down to the shoes you're wearing and the socks, like you think of weird comforts like that. And if it's uncomfortable, that's going to change the way you carry yourself and the way you move through space, which is huge.
We all kind of felt for Thomas constantly missing out on these oily cakes. How did you put yourself into that mindset of missing out on something that's so humble to us in sort of 2021? You know, here we are, we can go get a donut, we can go get a bit of fried batter. How did you kind of put yourself in that mindset of like that, missing out on something like that in that kind of mindset?
Oh, I really tried to focus on the fact that, you know, Thomas is a young guy, I would say. And part of the backstory I built is that he's just this beaten down kid. Nothing's gone right. He has no one, he has no family, and he's here by himself, you know, trying to grab on to Lloyd's, who was played by Ewan Bremner's coattails, just trying to get his hands on something, like some camaraderie or just be a part of something. Mm-hmm. And he just, frontier life is hard and you just want a small comfort and a biscuit, like an oily cake that Cookie Jamagaro's character makes would just make Thomas's day. And he doesn't get it. Over and over again, he doesn't get it. And it just, it's that nail, death by a thousand paper cuts kind of thing that I tried to nail down in my head. And because Thomas is hungry, he's probably like malnourished and all these things. And he continues to be hungry. So I really tried to hone in on that hunger feeling of not being fulfilled, mm-hmm. and how that could affect you. Because I, as a person, have never, you know, been starving, or it hasn't really been a hugely difficult life for me here in 2021 or the present day. And so I would say really honing in on that feeling of hunger, and then how that translates to maybe like anger and a sense of I need to take this hatred out on somebody, mm-hmm. is how I would approach that. Yeah.
Please tell me you got to eat at least one of them on the set. Did you ever get? Never. Oh my God.
I stayed true to Thomas.
Method acting that has to be applauded. Never. Daniel Day-Lewis, eat your heart out.
I never took a vital one. I had an opportunity, but I never did. Thomas, get one. I don't want to taste it.
Have you been tempted to make your own after the fact? There's like recipes online and so on.
Yeah, I've seen recipes, and I'm sure I'll make one at some point. But yeah, I did not. I abstained on set for sure.
Incredible. Like, that is, you know, to be commended. Like, you obviously, you touched on it, you were working alongside a fellow Edinburgh boy in Ewan Bremner. What was he like to work with, and how did you find the Edinburgh Scottish accent?
I really, really loved his accent. And like I said earlier, I think, I don't know Ewan Bremner personally, but I've seen him in other films. And as soon as you walk on set, it seemed like he was even more Scottish than he normally is. Working with Ewan and watching him work with Toby and just everyone on set, and just even everyone getting into the van and like going to set and watching everyone run lines as you're on the way to the set. I would say it was a pleasure working with Ewan. And there's a couple scenes that his fire and just his anger, I didn't have to act very much. Let's just say that. Yeah.
I'm curious, you mentioned someone's film. Have you ever seen the Trainspotting films?
I've seen a few. I've seen a little bit of that. Yeah. That's where I knew him from. So seeing him on set, yeah, that was cool.
One thing that's been, it's been a joy, really. Like I saw First Cow for the first time last July when it came out in digital in America. I bought it, and I've been really lucky here in the UK. First Cow, like a year plus after America got released, it's now here in the cinemas, kind of showing through Mubi. And I got to watch the film with an audience. And one thing that went down really well with the crowd I saw it with was the scene where you're all getting woken up. There's people on the estate, and there's the Lloyd shouts, "For God's sake, Thomas," in his thick Edinburgh accent. And that went down so well with like a crowd. It's interesting. You watch something at home, you think, that's a funny moment. But then you watch something with a crowd and that shared laughter. That was a really nice, fun dynamic amongst as much as it was terrible to watch the bullying that was going on. People could still find a bit of humor in just hearing a Scottish guy just rant and rave at a poor young boy.
That makes me really happy to hear that, because that was a fun scene to shoot. And it was really cold in that bunkhouse, and just over and over, I just had to swing my legs over and hit him in the face.
Did you ever fancy wearing a kilt as well, or were you quite happy with your outfit?
I was happy with my outfit, yeah. But yeah, there's a scene, I think also, that is memorable to me with Ewan and him shouting, and it's when he's asking Cookie to hold out an oily cake for the chief factor, mm-hmm. for Toby Jones. And he walks away, and Thomas is supposed to be right on his coattails and run into him. And it's when he like whips around and is, what's the line? What does he actually say? He says, "I don't need two shadows, do I?" And screams at me. And I'm just crushed. And Kelly just lets the scene continue, and I just have to waddle on after him. But what was funny is I had to find an authentic way to try to run into him, and take after take, he would like turn to me. He's like, "Don't be afraid to just barrel into me. Just lay me out." And he's like, "I won't fall down. Like, just do it." But what he didn't know is that he was moving too fast. So I felt too unnatural to try to catch up to him, to like hit him really hard. But yeah, that scene was fun to shoot, and just have him scream like, "I don't need two shadows, do I?" Oh, yeah.
What was the sort of chief factor's estate like? Obviously, it's a very different place to the camp. What was that like to kind of play in indoors, essentially, and kind of the estate with obviously the surrounding area?
Yeah, so the estate, I never went inside. I only filmed outside in the bunkhouse, but yeah, the house was a good set. I think it was, they didn't do too much to it. It was very much what you see is what the house looked like. And yeah, I would say that I didn't really get to step foot inside that set, but the bunkhouse was very much period, like the floors were dirt, and what was funny is the bunkhouse actually wasn't like a full house, it was like a half, mm-hmm. so it looks like a full house in the scene, but there's no, it wasn't enclosed, I should say. But
we've touched on some of the names that you've worked with on that film, Toby Jones, Orion Lee, John Magaro. What were they all like to work with, and what were your sort of memories of working with some of these really established names?
John was incredibly kind and hardworking, and watching him like prepare and work on the film was an honor to see. And it was kind of funny because right before I was cast on First Cow, I had binged John Ryan, and John Magaro has a part in John Ryan. And I didn't put two and two together I actually didn't know who was going to be in the film until I got on set. And then I got on set and I see John. I'm like, wait a second. I just watched you in John Ryan. This is crazy. But yeah, he was someone who was incredibly kind to me. And every time I was on set, he would always come up and make sure that I was okay. And that I felt good and kind of talk with me. And I would say that with Toby Jones, I had a couple brief conversations with him, but I was definitely starstruck with Toby Jones. And watching him run lines and like prepare and then go through his scenes was kind of like a masterclass in acting. And yeah, I had to fight the urge to ask him what it was like about to voice Dobby in Harry Potter, because I am a huge Harry Potter fan. But I didn't ask him like those kinds of questions. Pretty much just, we just had small talk on set about like me as a person and about Portland and things like that. But I would say watching the dynamic between John and Orion, and then like you, I learned a little bit about the kind of boot camp that they went through like before filming started, and just the little time that I spent on set watching them kind of interact was a treat as well, because their chemistry was real. And yeah, for them to embrace those two characters as much as they did, I think they did a very good job of portraying King Lou and Cookie.
For you as part of this ensemble, did being in kind of the wilderness and the cold and the mud, did that build like a team spirit between sort of the cast and the crew?
Definitely, I definitely did. And I know that on one of the days that I was on set, John actually rented a coffee truck that parked on set, and so everyone was able to kind of like get their treats to get warm and stuff like that. So yeah, it was definitely, everyone was in it together, everyone, every morning, like, because a lot of the call times were before the sun was even up. And I was lucky, the days that I was there, it never really like rained on us, but I know that the crew and the cast that were there every day, like they were there, it was raining, it was cold. And yeah, I definitely think that brought everyone even more together. But even if the shoot was not as hard as it was, Kelly's sets are so warm and inviting, and just the way she works, yeah, there would never be any animosity between anyone on set. Like, I don't think Kelly would allow it.
Suppose this might be a spoiler for people that are potentially listening. So, you know, if someone has got this far and not seen First Cow, go and watch it. But the film obviously ends with Thomas stalking Cookie and King Lou. And we know from the start of the film that there's going to be two skeletons, and there's only going to be so many people that can be. What was it like to have that type of role, that this young boy that could be pushed to kill two defenseless men? And you know, I've watched the film three times. I watched it when it first came out, and I watched it again when we reviewed the film, and obviously a couple weeks ago when I was really thrilled to see it in the cinema. The one thing I really started to appreciate by the second and third was how much of a journey your character goes on, and why I've been so keen to get you onto the podcast, is Thomas is one of these background characters, but then when you watch it over and over, you realize how important and prominent in that story arc is, and what he is driven to do by the end. You know, a lot of films, the character Thomas's arc would be the main plot. How does a young boy get driven to kill? What did you think of that climax and journey for your character? It really goes to such a dark place, really.
I loved it. I've always wanted to play. I mean, that's part of the reason why I became an actor, is to be able to kind of have the thoughts and imagine what it would be like to do things. You can't murder someone in everyday life. And I know I will never have the feelings in my lifetime of I'm going to take someone's life. That's just, it's not, you're never going to have those thoughts. And so to having it be a time a period piece and in the environment that it takes place, and knowing that it was a very lawless land, and Thomas has no one, he has no safety net, he can only take care of himself, and just he's always beaten down and has been trampled on over and over again, and just what does that do to someone? So I was really intrigued by the psychology of Thomas. And Kelly, from the first meeting in the coffee shop, she straight up says, oh, and by the way, Thomas kills Cookie and King Lou in the end. Like, yeah. Is that something you're interested in? And I was like, oh, for sure. Yes, I am interested in playing Thomas. And So you said you've seen the film 3 times.
Yeah.
And I was always wondering, like, would there be some people that wouldn't make the connection that Thomas is the one that commits these murders? Because he is the one, like, a few of the last shots in the film are me stalking Cookie, and then Cookie and King Lou in the tall grass holding my rifle. And even though Lloyd shouts at Thomas to stay behind, I don't listen, obviously. I go out on my own, and Thomas is the one to find them. And in my mind, this is Thomas's way. Like, Thomas has to make his bones. He has to prove something to Lloyd, is how I really focused on it. Because he needs to make someone proud of him or something. And one thing I like about Kelly is, like you said, normally this kind of character arc would be the focus of a film. And I like how Kelly, she never spoon feeds her audience. Like, it could have been really simple for her to show gratuitous violence and show Thomas, like, committing the murders, but she doesn't. She settles on the opening shot, having the 2 skeletons. And at the end, she shows me stalking, but then really wraps up the film with friendship and Orion taking care of Cookie, and they kind of fall asleep. So I like how she lets her audience kind of connect the dots that way.
It's one thing, even from my first watch of it, and we mention it in our review of First Cow, that happens. You see these skeletons at the beginning, you go, oh God, they die.
Mm-hmm. But
you immediately forget. Like, and it's not a slight on the film that you forget. You're just so caught up in this world and these characters. And it's only towards that last stretch of the film, you're like, oh my God, they're going to die. How's this going to happen? And I was always curious what, you know, I like how it ends. I suppose I was wondering, perhaps, like, as an actor, do you go, right, obviously it fades to black, but for my acting and putting myself in the zone, I'm thinking how it's going to happen after it turns dark. You know, am I going to shoot them in the back, or is it in the face, or, you know, all these sorts of things. Is a process how you essentially do the deed and, you know, make kind of Lloyd and the gang proud, I guess.
I would say, yeah, I did. Because, like I said, Thomas is not a big person, so obviously you would have to catch them off guard. And I, me personally, as just reading the script and knowing, especially in the script, it's described at the beginning that one of the skeletons has, I think, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think one of the skeletons had, like, a cracked skull or whatever. And I always wanted to make sense, like, what is a realistic way that Thomas would be able to, you know, exact his revenge and take on 2 grown men at once? And what I came up with is that it would have to be more, Thomas had to catch him by surprise, which I assume he does because he's stalking them. But I also wonder if Cookie might have already succumbed to his injuries because of that head injury. I don't know if he, once he, like, falls asleep, does he ever wake up? And then it's just Thomas and King Lou. So that's kind of how I approached it. But it's also possible that Cookie could have just been severely injured, and then it would have been that much easier for Thomas to kind of take their lives. But yeah, so for me, it was really crucial in the scenes where I miss out on oily cakes every time, that it had to be much more than just missing out on oily cakes. Because even back then, that's I don't think that's enough to kill someone. There has to be other traumas and things like that in Thomas's life that would lead him to conceive that missing out on food would be willing or means to kill these two men.
When did you get the chance to see the film for the first time, and what was your experience like going in to watch it? Was excitement, nerves?
Yeah, so I didn't really have worries about being cut just because I knew Thomas was integral to the end of the story. I'm like, I have to be in the film at some point. But also, that shot at the end where I'm in the tall grass with the rifle wasn't even in the script. Kelly's wanted to film that extra in case she needed to make the connection between the death and Thomas slightly more obvious, so people could make the connection without just painting it on the wall like Thomas kills Cookie and King Lou. But yeah, the first time I saw it, so we wrapped filming right before Christmas in 2018, and then Kelly and all the post-production process took until August 2019. All the cast and the local crew in Portland, Oregon, and Kelly and everybody gathered at a small theater in Portland, and we were able to watch the film then on the screen, in a screen that was built for the aspect ratio that First Cow is filmed in. And yeah, that was a really cool experience. I was able to have my family there, and we're all sitting there in the theater. And yeah, the first time I come on screen and my whole family just like, woo! Yeah, it was a really special experience. And yeah, so yeah, I saw it all the way back in August of 2019. And then it tried to release in theaters back in March of 2020. And it was that the opening weekend was very strong, I think, I remember, for First Cow. And then that's when lockdown happened the next week. And we were actually supposed to have a party again with the cast and crew in Portland on like the Friday of lockdown week. And unfortunately we had to cancel it. And then A24 pulled it from theaters. But then, yeah, luckily it came out, like you said, in July here in the States on video on demand. And I was able to have like another viewing party with close friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
Why do you think First Cow has proven to be such a popular movie? Like, here we are talking about it today. What do you think's made this film stand out? For, I said it at the time when I first watched it, it was one of those first films that is almost immediately enhanced by having gone through lockdown. I remember just feeling really emotional just watching two guys milk a cow and just going, it's so nice that people can be together like that, and the tenderness of it all. For you, why is this film so popular?
For me, I think it's because, even though I guess you can place First Cow in the Western genre kind of, but it really isn't, it's not a film about two macho cowboys like out on the frontier robbing people and committing crimes. It's really a tale about friendship and these two people that meet under incredible circumstances. King Lou's running for his life, and Cookie is not, Cookie's also an outsider, and he doesn't really fit in with the fur trappers. He's the cook, and he takes care of these men. And that is like it's a different instinct than what you would imagine like men at that time period would have. And then he strikes up a friendship with King Lou, which is a friendship that not many people would have at that period in time. There's even a scene like in the chief factor's house where Toby Jones, the chief factor, completely ignores King Lou, like pretends like he doesn't exist. And I think especially during this time period where there's so much hatred going around and people not liking people that don't look like them, I think this story, and especially in the time period that it takes place, it was needed just to see the warmth and the caring that these two men have for each other. And also the scenes between Cookie and Evie, I think are the highlight of the entire film. Like John's chemistry with Evie is amazing. I think those are my favorite scenes, when he's just sitting there milking her under the moon and whispering to her I think those are the scenes that make the entire film.
What's it like for you to have an A24 film on your filmography, like straight out of the bat? What's that like to have on your CV and to be able to say that you're in?
I still can't believe it's true. Like, it's real. Like I said, I didn't even know it was an A24 film until I walked on set. But even before that, when I first started acting and I was seeing A24 films and, you know, films like Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird and I like every A24 film. And so just walking on the set and then hearing someone say like, oh yeah, this is going to be distributed by A24. And I was just like, what? This is my first set and you're telling me this is an A24 film? It's weird to have that be my first professional experience on a set and it be attached to something as great as A24 is.
You mentioned that you love all their films. What are some of the highlights for you, some of your maybe favorite ones or go-to ones?
I will say that Lady Bird has a special place in my heart. Like a lot of other people, it did spur my man crush on Timothy Chalamet. So I also like Hot Summer Nights.
Yeah, very underrated film, I think.
I think it's a very underrated film. I think I really enjoyed that one. And me, I'm really, really anticipating The Green Knight with Dev Patel. I need to see that movie.
It's what, out next month, July 31st? I'm so excited for that one.
Counting down the days to see that film. Yeah.
And what's next for yourself? What are you kind of working on at the moment? You know, I know things are challenging for actors, but how have things been for yourself with COVID?
So with COVID this past year, I'm not gonna lie, it's been tough. It's been a lot of self-taping. So I've been having to learn how to be a director of sorts, you know, lighting and sound and all that stuff. I'm not that kind of person. So I'm catching on quickly. And right now it's been a lot of auditions and continuing to study and work on my craft. And I actually just recently got back from filming a short film in Maine.
Awesome.
On the coast. And so that should be going through post-production this summer and coming out sometime, I would assume, in the near future. Yeah. It was nice to, because that this last week, that was my first time on set since the pandemic happened, and just to be back with actual people doing and in front of a camera again on a set where everyone's vaccinated and masked up and following all the protocols, it still felt like a normal film set, which is a feeling that I was missing very, very much. Perfect. Yeah, so that I'm kind of like exhaling, like, okay, the industry is picking back up again and I can actually do what I want to do. And yeah, that's a great feeling.
That's awesome news. And for people that maybe want to stay up to date with like any kind of future projects, to discover when you finally will get to enjoy an oily cake, where's kind of the best places to find you online, Jared?
Online, you can find me on Instagram. It's at Jared Kozowski. I don't post that often, but any updates, any career developments you can find them on there. And also I have a website, jaredkozowski.com, which I update pretty regularly of upcoming projects and things like that. And those are probably the two places that you can find me.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. You're a real gentleman. It's great to finally unmute you to discuss First Cow. It's been a real pleasure to talk about Thomas, the journey and the experience. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast. I'm always down to talk about First Cow.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.